many years ago. I don't know how many, but Brother Craig Schaefer was a very young man, at the most a young teenager. And we came to Guthrie, and I don't want to go into all the particulars because, one, I don't remember them all, except I remember Brother Craig got up and testified as a very young man. And I appreciate people who have stood by the Lord, allowed the Lord to lead them. And I am confident in this, Brother Craig, and to all of us, God's going to stand by us. And He's not going to be unfaithful to you and me to forget our labors of love. So to every one of us, let's just stay encouraged. I appreciate tonight, too, the ministry of songs, singing ministry. This little battle I've been going through last year, sometimes I find, along with what Brother Craig said, I get the feeling the oppression of it and the fear of it and the anxiety that comes along, and I have found to just begin to sing. Ministers to my soul. And thankfully, I can recall a lot of words to our songs. And sometimes I put song 1 with song 10, but it always harmonizes in my mind anyway, in my spirit. And so I thank the Lord tonight, and I would encourage us. I remember years ago when a young man from Shreveport at the time joined the Navy. And Brother Clifford Wilson went to him and told him, and he took him a brand new songbook. He said, "Now, you take this songbook with you along with your Bible." And he said, "You sing these songs and you read them." So there's a great ministry, because songs can touch us where spoken and printed words sometimes just can't quite fill the void. But the harmony and the flow of the music accompanied by the Spirit can be very touching. So I want to encourage you that can sing. When I think about my life and yours, I'm reminded many times of, I believe it was Elijah, who had to be woken and told to eat again, said, "The journey is too great for you." And I find that more so now than I did a few years ago. But I've always noticed that I need a lot of help to do most anything I do. And certainly in serving the Lord, we need energy and help from the Lord. And I'm thinking tonight about Jesus Christ being our light, being our source of strength, being our guide, and being our help. When I think about the scriptures that's in St. John, the first chapter, and maybe the 6th through the 10th verse, it speaks about Christ coming as a light unto the world. And Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world." But he said here in John 1 and 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Now, speaking here of John the Baptist. "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light," and that's capitalized, "that all men through him might believe." He was not the light, capitalized. One thing about we find in our own selves, we don't have the light in and of ourselves. And we find, as much as we love one another, our companions, our families, those members of the body of Christ, as much as we love them and cherish them and their counsel and their insight, and we feel and sense and know their care for us and you, there is an inadequacy in man that we cannot effectively, fully, and in all circumstances minister to one another. But I'm glad tonight that John here said of John the Baptist that John the Baptist was not the light. And you and I are not the light per se. We are vessels for the light. We are channels for the light. We are instruments in the hands of the Lord to let the light shine. But I'm glad tonight to report that God Himself and His Son, Jesus Christ, is the light. And we have access to Him by faith. We have access to Him because He came to us when we couldn't go to Him. We have access to the light of the world. And He said of Jesus here, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." In Titus it says, the grace of God, we could say that's the light of God too. Our grace and truth came by Jesus. That the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And He came teaching us, instructing us, guiding us, and showing us, illuminating the pathway of our life. "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Look at the dynamics and the power now of this light. Let's never discount the authority and the power that is in the light of Jesus Christ. Listen to what it said. "He," the Christ, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him." He was the light of the world. He came the Creator. He came the one that said, "Let there be." I don't know all the things between God the Son, God the Father, and God the Spirit before man, before the fall. I don't understand all the dynamics of creation, nor do I need to know that. I just know God said, "And let there be," and there was. And we read here in John that in the beginning was the Word, the spoken Word of God, the very commands from the divine, the very authority of the Word and the voice and the commands of God, and what we see today was created. This is the authority that is in the light of the Word of God. We have access to God. We have access to the energy and the strength and the power of God through the light of the world, Jesus Christ. In Him is all the things that are pertaining to life and godliness. So I'm thinking tonight, as this light comes, and some of the dynamics of light is, one, it's energy. It's power. It's an authority. And light, as we know, illuminates. It brightens dark places. It's able to go into the crevices that human eyes cannot see into. And you can take a little pin light, or you can take a little light and shine down deep into the crevices of things that normally you wouldn't be able to see. Light is energy. Energy is power. Energy is heat. Energy is fire. Jesus Christ came with His fan in His hand, and He's able to thoroughly purge and His threshing room floor, and He'll come with fire and a burning. So tonight, I want to say I am thankful that you and me have access to the light of God through Jesus Christ. The power to create, to transform, and to make all things new. The power to recreate or create from ashes beauty. To dry the eyes of mourning and to give joy. Someone who is able to come into the prison houses and the light of the Lord unlocks the prisons of sin, of doubts, and of fears. The light with the energy and the strength to come into our fears, into our those little crevices of our life and minister to us there. Perfect love, He said, casteth out fear. The power of God to come down to where we are through Jesus Christ. Now we have access to that. We have the right. We have the privilege. We can by faith touch the throne of grace. Thank God tonight for that. So this light that came to us by His own admission is powerful, beyond all things we understand. Something from nothing. The songwriter said, He made something beautiful of my life. And that light wants to be in us. That light wants to occupy our throne. That light wants to be in us, shining forth out of us. That light wants you and me to be a vessel of honor. He wants us to be a repository and the keeper of that light. He wants us to have that light in our heart, in our mind, in our lips, and in our action. He wants that light to shine forth out of us and glorify Him and bring honor to Him and to minister to Him and to minister to others. He wants my life and your life to be glorious in the sense that it brings honor to God. And it points the way for others. And it gives guidance to the simple. It gives guidance to the hurting, to the sick, and to sinful man. Tonight we thank God that God said, I want this light to be in you. Not a superficial outside light that we see that we as Moses and the children of Israel could not even behold the mount, and they quaked, and they couldn't touch it. But God wants that light to come and be in us, an ever-present help, a strength, a source and a resource that we draw from, an energy that causes you and me to do great things. And I'm not speaking of boastful things, things that the flesh can't do. Things that the humanity of man would run from. Things that the humanity of man would act unseemly and unkind in. Do things that are great in the sight of God. Overcome in the strength of that light that wants to come and live in us and abide in us and dwell in us. Strengthening us, enabling us, causing you and me now ourselves to shine forth. Listen to what he said in Matthew 5 and 15. Neither do men put light a candle and put it in a bushel or put it under a basket. A couple of things you might note here. You take a candle and you put it a shade on it. It diffuses the light, and the brilliance of the light is shadowed by the shade. This light that came into the world, it wasn't done over in a corner somewhere. It was done for all the world to see. It was done for mankind to realize. The crucifixion was on a hill. The very fact that Jesus rose and was seen by many, many and testified to that. It was not done in a little secluded area somewhere, but in a hub of activity and right in the midst in front of the Romans, and right in a place where the roads travel down from Egypt into Europe. It was a very busy place, and Christ came at this time. This thing was not done in a bushel to hide. So we don't take a light and we take it and put it under a bushel or under a shade. There's another thing. You ever heard of snuffing out lamps and lights? I read this, of course, I hadn't seen it, but there was the lamp lighter, you know, the old lamp lighter long, long ago. He went around lighting the lights. Then, in some communities, he went around in the morning snuffing them out. And they make a little candle snuffer, a light snuffer, and it's a little on a rod of some kind, and it hooks over like that, and it's got something like an inverted bell on it. And you take that snuffer, and you reach up, and you put the light out. So by putting the light in a bushel, you can conceivably put it out also. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on display. Lord, help us tonight. We've received something beautiful. We're not to be showy and we're not to be proud, but there's an energy in the Christian that God wants to use. And he doesn't want it snuffed out or put under a shadow or a shade, but he wants us to be on display. Part of my message this morning was, that in the trying scenes of life, we let our light shine. In those times that we're hurt, those times that we're confused, those times that we're afraid, those times that the offenses has come, that we make sure our light's on the candlestick. And listen to what he said. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. This thing was not done in a corner. It was done where the world could see it. It was demonstrated and preached to all the world. Now it's been given to you and me to be on display. Let our light, then, he said, so shine before men, before our accusers, and before our friends, before our enemies, and before those that agree with us, before our families, before every man. Let our light so shine before men for one reason, that they may see your works. And I know it doesn't say it here. They may see your great works. They say see your works that are divinely inspired. They may see your forgiveness, your love, and your understanding. That they may see your perseverance and your goodwill. That they may see the holiness that God has wrought in you. That they may be able to see the humility that Brother Duane spoke about. That they may see the attributes of the energy, this light of Jesus Christ in us. That they may be able to recognize this man, that man, this woman, this lady has been with the Lord. God came to effect a dynamic change in us. He came to give us the energy of His light living in us, to illuminate our pathway, to guide us, to strengthen us, to give us power over the enemy of our soul. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's our goal, folks. That's our commission. That's our rule to live by, is that you and me possess the light of the world. Not to the satisfying of the flesh, on the contrary, but to the crucifying of the flesh. Not to the glorifying of the flesh or human abilities, but taking our inabilities, submitting them to God, our wants, our infirmities that we heard some of us spoke about this morning, taking those things that we want, we're want in, we're lack in, we're insufficient of ourselves in, and letting the energy of the Word of God and the light of God and Christ in us strengthen us that we rise above the things that heretofore have maybe defeated us or caused us shame. I thank God tonight that you and me can be a flashlight, if you will, for God. Flashlight is a case of some kind. And I tell you what, you take the batteries and the bulb out, and all you got is a piece of plastic or a piece of metal. That's all you got. You and me are to be the vessel, the repository for the Spirit of God. You and I are to let His batteries be in us. His righteousness be in us. His strength be in us. In fact, Him be in us. Then it's not the flashlight. It's the batteries. It's the power source that gets the glory. Now you take it over. There's nothing much more aggravating than a flashlight. You're hoping to light and it won't. It's frustrating. Let's us not frustrate the grace of God. Let's you and me not frustrate what God has given us. But let's take the light, store it in our hearts, take the energy of the power of God and store it in our hearts. And my, when that opportunity comes and God says, push the button, and He pushes the button. Praise the Lord that light can come forth out of our life. The Spirit of God is essential to this. The Spirit of God living in us and dwelling in us. Spirit of God, our helper. Spirit of God, our sanctifier. The Spirit of God, our comforter. The Spirit of God, our power from on high. As Christians, we dare not go out at our own charge. As Christians, we must be very careful to be a partaker of this power from on high, this energy from on high, this light of the world. If we want and we do our light to shine, we want each one of, God wants each one of us, and we as individuals want our light to shine. Remember, we can't do it without Jesus. We can't do it without Him on the inside. We can't do it with a head knowledge. We can't do it with a Bible under our arm. We can't do it any other way but to have Christ in our hearts. And He wants to be there. And He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. May the Lord comfort each one of us tonight, knowing that He indeed, truly from His very throne in grace, wants to comfort us. He wants to abide in us. And He wants that perfect love to cast out any darkness or anything in us. The Lord told them, I want you to tarry. The Holy Spirit had not yet descended, had not been given as a indwelling presence in people's lives. He had not come from heaven yet to disperse the gifts and the power and the authority. One place He said, not by might and not by power. That's men's ingenuities, men's thinking. And may I interject this thought? We as the church of God, we must be acutely and vitally sensitive to the leadings of the Holy Ghost. That's essential for us. What has happened in sectarianism is they've lost that. Maybe they went radically conservative or radically liberal in their, but they misplaced and lost, and we could go into reasons why, the Spirit of God. If we lose that, there's one thing left for us. That's me or you, the devices of man. That's the light that's in you, or light's in me without Christ. It's essential, essential that you and me as individual members of the body have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the blesser, the comforter. He is the one that convicts. He is the one that has the authority to anoint the word that's preached or sung or testified and do its work, not in just a little sentimental, romantic way. You can go, and I've been to a few, you can go to gospel singings. And if you're a little bit sentimental, you'll feel the tears trickle down your eyes. I'm not saying that's altogether bad. But I want us to say that you're kind of, we come, become kind of like the man that saw himself, but then he beheld himself, but straightway he went away and forgot what manner of man he was. Didn't have and doesn't have the power to do the radical transformation that is necessary to make heaven, that's radically needed for you and me to be what God wants us to be. You can substitute man's charisma. Folks, it can be pretty slick. And can be entertaining. And we can say, man, I enjoy that. Think about it. Follow up on that. And what does that atmosphere do in the life of holiness in promoting the light of Christ on someone's job? On someone's, in someone's family. Now, I'm not saying God does not reach down into Babylon to save people. Don't get me wrong. But the organization has recognized, ignorantly perhaps, we've got to come up with something to be able to keep, maintain, and to grow. Saints, we need the Holy Ghost. You see, when He brings the tear, He also comes in power and authority to make the necessary corrections at that point. When the Lord comes with joy and happiness and the clapping of hands and the raising of holy hands, or however it may be demonstrated, He also comes with the power to make the necessary corrections or growth or whatever's needed. Not just conviction that is godly, fleshly sorrow, sorrow of this world. You can move people. A trained speaker, a charismatic people can move an audience. And we know that. It's no question about that. A parent can produce guilt in a child and make a child feel real guilty. A wife or a husband can put a guilt trip on their spouse, etc. But it doesn't have that transforming power, that changing power, that power that I never want to do it again. And cry out to God for not only I don't want to do it, but oh God, empower me with the energy of the Spirit of God that I want. But godly sorrow, he said, works a repentance not to be repented of again. We need the Spirit of God. We must have God's Spirit. We must have it as an individual. We must have it as a people. So I will encourage us tonight. Let you and me receive what Christ said when he breathed on them. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. It's essential. It's the light of God. It is the conviction and the power and the strength and the energy of God. A lot of things could be said about this light. We need this light. This light is our guide in the darkest crevices that we'll ever get in. It is the power to preserve you and me when everything points to failure. When we're so overwhelmed, all we know to do is fall on our face. It's that preserving quality, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Had a lot of things you could say about that. But putting a stamp on me and you that we belong to the Lord. We're the Lord's territory and the Lord's property, the Lord's throne room. The Holy Spirit. I think about receiving the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of messages just in that. I think one of the primary reasons that we should ask for and receive it, one is because it's a command. It is part of the plan of salvation. But it's a lot like regeneration also. We've got to see a need for it. We've got to see a want. We've got to see something in us that's not adequately performing the way God would have us. Not meeting ours or God's expectations. I also think about receiving the Holy Spirit. And he comes as a guide and a purifier. He comes as a strength. He comes as, well, God in us. And I think about Christ in Gethsemane. There was in Christ a resignation to the will of God. As much as he did not want to go to Calvary, as much as he recognized the shame and the reproach and certainly the pain and the humiliation of it, he did not want to go. The flesh, the Christ, the man, did not want to go. But he came to a place of resignation, of recognizing, too, that he must submit for this all to work the way God and he wanted it to. And he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will, as thou wilt. The Lord wants you and me to come to that place of resigning. Taking our hands off the plow, taking our hands off the reins, taking ourselves and giving up our life to Jesus Christ. That's going to take a Gethsemane. And that's also going to take trust. It's going to take faith. It's going to take a recognition in the love of God. It's going to take something greater than you and me. We're going to have to take ourselves and see what God is, what he has for us. Come to our Gethsemane. And the word I'm thinking of is resign. As a Christian, we must resign from the fleshly life. That's actions. But we must also resign from the mindset of the flesh. We must resign from, I can do it myself. The hesitation of being guided. There are people, just naturally, who do not like to be instructed. They like to get ahead of the instructor or discount the instructor. The Lord has to be our instructor, our counselor, our teacher. So we must come to a place. Songwriter, and I know it doesn't particularly go on, the whole song doesn't pertain to what I'm talking about. But the songwriter said, light breaks at last, hallelujah to God. We must understand the little bulb of light must go off in our mind and in our heart. Wait a minute. This is the light of the world. This is the creative power of the Almighty God that is offering Himself to me. The one who said, let there be trees. And the big oak trees and the redwoods started growing. The one that said, let there be an ocean. And there was the Pacific and there was the Atlantic. The one who said, let there be you. And there you are. The light of the world. To recognize this great power has offered Himself to you and to me. That should humble us. Let's not turn away from it. Let's not say, not for me. The requirements are too great. Folks, the requirements are as gentle as a shepherd with his sheep. The requirements and commandments are in no way grievous. The grievous feelings come when we have not resigned and we're still kicking and we're still contending for something I want instead of what God wants. So every one of us tonight, here's what God has offered us, the light of the world. The power of creation to come and take His abode up in us and make you and me a vessel of honor that when we go out in an unkind world, we can let our light shine. When offenses come, when hurts come, people can see our good works, our overcoming, not in our power, but in it, and give glory to God. That our life then, when we're reviled, will not revile back. And men will look on it and give glory to God. This is what's offered to us. I want to take advantage of it. I pray just about, if not every day, Lord, I need your Holy Ghost. I need your power in me. The journey's greater than I can even imagine. It's greater than I can even fathom. It's how great this journey is. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. I need it. It's the energy, the strength, the power that's going to sustain me through my days here on earth. You pray for me.